What's up, family? You are tuned into Law and Disorder, a podcast where we expose the cracks in our system, agitate for resistance, and collectively build a new world in which all of us can thrive. From KPFA Radio and the Pacifica Network, I'm your host, Kat Brooks.
An average of 41.7 million people, or 12.3% in the United States, received SNAP benefits in 2024, with some states and territories more reliant on the program than others. Donald Trump said on Tuesday that he would withhold SNAP benefits until Democrats passed the budget bill that would cut things like Medicaid for millions of Americans and increase the budget for ICE by billions. The political fight on the Hill in D.C. is having real consequences for people on the ground. Let's get into it. Joining us to discuss is Michael Flood, President and CEO of the Los Angeles Regional Food Bank. Good morning, Michael. Thank you for joining us. I know it's got to be a little bit bananas for you right now, so I appreciate you taking the time.
Yeah, Kat, thank you. Glad for the invitation and to talk about this issue. I'm actually in my car. There's a distribution starting here at 9 a.m. in the La Puente industry area just to deal, again, with this issue and so many people, you know, just needing help and needing assistance.
Well, let's start there then. Can you talk about what it's been like on the ground at your centers since folks got word that food was going to be cut?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, the federal government, as we all know, has been shut down since October 1st. We started hearing from federal workers mid-October, right? Because they have not been paid for the whole month of October. And at this point, don't know when they'll be paid next. So, you know, we have a lot of federal workers in LA County, based on what we're able to find, about 71,000 federal workers in Los Angeles County, obviously at LAX, down in, near the ports and other federal buildings. So that was the first, you know, kind of response that we heard. And then once it was announced that SNAP CalFresh benefits would not be going out in November, the last week of October, the food bank and the many organizations we serve started seeing a pretty large increase in the demand for food assistance. And then November 1st, we had a big distribution at the Forum in Inglewood, where we saw thousands of cars come through. So yeah, this is a real disaster for so many people.
I have a question a little bit about process. I'm trying to get it phrased right in my head. And the reason I'm asking is because the two federal judges have said that the Agricultural Department has to dig into the contingency funds. That said, that process, right, will still take a week. We're hearing that people won't see impact until Monday. That's what, 4 or 5 more days from now. So what is the, like, what is the lag, right? So, like, each month, is it work, like, each month the centers get food or money to purchase the food, and then that gets distributed, and then it's sort of just this rolling thing, but it's on a calendar? So what in the process gets interrupted?
Yeah, no, it's a great question. Yeah, so, you know, SNAP, the traditional food stamp program, has been around since the Great Depression. And in its modern form, it's been around for 60 years, and never has there been a situation where the benefits did not go out. This is unprecedented what's happening. So the benefits go to families, individuals, seniors on a card, electronic benefit transfer, EBT card. And then those families purchase on their own at grocery stores, food stores, and the like. So that is what the holdup is. It doesn't really directly impact the food bank and our work and what our partner agencies are doing. We rely on donated food. We do purchase food, which we're doing now because the demand is so high. But that is really the impact. And in Los Angeles County, there are nearly a million households that receive the SNAP CalFresh benefits. There are 1.55 million people in those households, and the average benefit per household is $310. So you're talking about $300 million during the month of November that is not being transferred at this point to those people. Again, 2/3 of whom are seniors, children, people dealing with disabilities. These are some of the most, you know, vulnerable neighbors in our community. So that's a huge, huge hit, right? In terms of, and what we've heard thus far is through the court ruling, half the benefits will be provided. So what happens is the USDA has to transfer that money to the state of California, and then the state of California has the responsibility for loading those benefits onto people's EBT cards. So my understanding is the state of California hasn't received the direction yet of what's going on. That's a bit of the holdup. And I haven't seen, as of this morning yet, a specific date of when benefits will be loaded onto EBT cards.
You said $310. Is that the week? That's a month?
That is a month. So this is a monthly allotment, right? So, and that's an average per household, right? If you're a household of one, it's about $180. A larger household, it'd be more. So on average, you're talking about $310 a month. And those benefits last your typical kind of family individual, maybe about 2 weeks. They're not necessarily designed to provide a month's worth of groceries. And as we all know, grocery prices have been increasing. They've been continuing to increase. So that's another challenge where, you know, the benefits do help, but certainly the needs can be much greater depending on what the individual or family situation is.
And so if we're talking half of benefits, roughly, I mean, I know we're not doing accurate month math here. We're talking about like half of $310 a month for the average household, half of $110 for a single person. I mean, I'm just imagining that most of people that are listening to my show may spend over $100 every time they go to the grocery store with privilege, you know, a few times a month.
Yeah, so I mean, definitely.
Sit
I mean,
with that number, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, we've all seen grocery prices increase, right? In terms of the dollar does not stretch as far. So, yeah, I mean, for a single person, I'd say roughly you're talking about $90 with this allotment that will be coming through. And for, you know, let's say a family of three, it's probably going to be about $160 for the month. Once there's some resolution back in D.C. overall, the expectation is the rest of those benefits will be paid. And then hopefully there's some resolution before December, because again, at this point, the December situation is unknown. And, you know, as you pointed out, this is causing like huge, you know, besides the food issue, huge worry for people, right? In terms of, you know, wait a minute, again, this is like never happened. And, you know, so it's just a really challenging situation all the way around.
And I know this isn't your area of work, but I'm just going to throw this out here. Point of privilege, as the host, if you're thinking about, there's already the emotional, mental, psychological trauma that low-income communities, particularly migrant communities, are facing. LA has been under siege, as it is. People have already, I'm imagining, Michael, people have already been afraid to even come out of the house and come to food bank centers because they're concerned about being picked up with ICE. So this sort of compounds the terror that folks have been living with for months now, yeah?
Well, yes, that. And I mean, this has been an incredibly challenging year. We started with the wildfires, right? I mean, you know, since January, you know, it's been one thing after another for all of us here, you know, throughout the LA area. So, yeah, I mean, really challenging. And, you know, I think what is frustrating for many of us is this doesn't need to be happening, right? This is a situation. This is not like an act of nature, you know, which is bad enough, of course, but this does not have to be happening. And that's really frustrating in terms of, you know, the situation, you know, can be avoided, but it's continuing to play out.
Michael, let's talk. That was actually one of my questions, kind of. What I have here is, you know, the core of this fight in D.C., right, is Democrats want the budget bill to include an extension of expiring tax credits that make health insurance cheaper, right, for Americans. And they want a reversal of Trump's cuts to Medicaid, which also serves bazillions of, right, people with disabilities or who are low income, can't afford health insurance, which is also astronomically high. You still don't get what you need for what you pay, but that's another segment. Democrats, there's cuts, right, to government health agencies in this bill. These are real issues, right? So, like, if the government if the Democrats right now are to be like, you know what, okay, we're going to concede, right, because people have got to give food. The Trump administration, the press secretary, said to some media outlets at a conference, I believe it was yesterday, right, that the Trump administration had been put in an untenable position. But I think actually it's the other way around, because if we concede, they concede. Not me. And people eat, then we're talking about health care. Then we're talking about people that need medication that can't get it. People. So from where you sit, right, sort of in the belly of the beast in the line of fire, What do you think should happen that's based on the realities of this current political climate? I know, big question.
Yeah, no, and it's the question of the hour. And, you know, I don't think it I don't know, like, I'm not in the political world, but, you know, we're all watching it and seeing what's happening. But I will tell you, I have seen proposals where, you know, like what they call sort of mini bus, that they fund certain programs, right, so that they can continue. So I know there's a lot of discussion going back in D.C. And, you know, and also to add to the list, Head Start. Head Start is getting impacted significantly. I heard a story on, I think on your network yesterday of, you know, Head Start programs in Florida have to close down because, again, that's a program heavily reliant on federal funds. So, you know, I think there's ways to do it. And again, I don't know, I'm not in that world, so I can't really speak to the strategy with regards to that, but I have seen in the last day or two, perhaps let's fund some food programs. And I think maybe, of course, extend to, let's say, Head Start and other programs. Let's make sure things are continuing to run while there's a lot of debate around, yes, healthcare subsidies and these other issues, which are also very important.
And as my colleague, Ms. Jesuit, who hosted a show called Letters in Politics, pointed, that used to be what the government did. Right, this sort of stalemate, it used to be that there was a compromise thing that happened, right, even if people weren't happy. But it seems in this political climate, right, it's a zero-sum game for the folks up there. We've been having conversations, you know, a lot of folks for a while now have been conversations about mutual aid, right? We take care of us. How are we going to step up? We, the average everyday person, to take care of each other. I lived in Los Angeles for 15 years. I know Angelenos love Angelenos. How are you seeing everyday Angelenos responding to this moment? What kind of community engagement is happening?
There's quite a bit. And, you know, we're, again, sort of food bank and the 600 partner organizations, food pantries, shelters, soup kitchens. You know, these are kind of year round, day in, day out, week in, week out programs that are providing assistance. And we are seeing additional volunteer support and donations come in. But mutual aid is a really good example where that during the pandemic, there was a lot of kind of more, let's call it really grassroots, right? Mutual aid, helping neighbors, helping people in neighborhoods. And we would really encourage that type of effort right now. Because the numbers I gave you, they're massive. There's no way one organization or a network of organizations can fill all of that gap. So we really would encourage, you know, people to do what they can, because this is an issue where everything helps. Everything can help people in your community, in your neighborhood. So, you know, it is a crisis type of situation we're all dealing with right now.
Michael Flood, can you just do maybe a couple of brass tacks? So if I'm in Los Angeles and I want to do something to support, like, what are three actions that I could take today that could be helpful?
You can volunteer, you can donate, and you should advocate. You should definitely advocate and let people know, you know, what's happening in D.C., that these issues need to be resolved. There's, you know, information at lafoodbank.org. I'm also closely connected to the LA Food Policy Council. A lot of great information on the LA Food Policy Council's website. So, yeah, just encourage people to get involved.
Well, you just did that. So thank you very much, Michael Flood. Is there anything that I haven't asked you that you want folks to know about what's happening, what's going on, any angle we missed?
I think we've really covered it. Thank you. Thank you for having me on the program.
Thank you for taking time to talk to us.
Sending Absolutely. Lots of Take care. Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye. We have been speaking to Michael Flood, who is the president and CEO of the Los Angeles Regional Food Bank. That takes us to 8:22 in the morning here on Law and Disorder. I am your host, Kat Burks. We are going to continue our coverage with Ryan Nicole, an Oakland-based rapper, artist, actress, fitness guru. That wasn't in there, but I'm going to tell you, fitness guru. yes, ma'am. She said, for those of you listening, she's shaking her head. No, activist, advocate, playwright, producer. Ryan is organizing Sicila. I hope I'm saying it right. A goods drive and benefit concert to support people experiencing disruption of their SNAP benefits. Good morning, sis. Thank you so much for joining us.
Good morning. Yes, I'm so glad to be here. Thank you so much, Kat. We listen to this every morning, and I'm honored to be on the program.
Right, Nicole. I mean, I've known you for a while at this point.
Yes,
like almost two decades. And what I know about you is that when crisis comes up, you respond. Either you take your own initiative, or like I say all the time, right? Back in the days when we ain't had nothing even to offer, and we were doing work around police violence or other things, like you would come and you would either spit your wisdom or spit your craft. And what I also know about you is that things hit you on a visceral level.
Yeah. Absolutely.
And so I wanted you to just take a minute, like as a mother, a community advocate, a lover of the people, like when you heard that this was coming viscerally, what happened for you?
I mean, I still have had a hard time putting into words the actions of this administration, the times that we're in, just the abject poverty of spirit that we're experiencing amongst quote unquote leadership in our country and even in our city, this beloved city. There's just been a lack of action from the folks who have all power to do it. Michael Flood said something that really resonates with me. He talked about the lack of necessity for this to be happening. And I think that's what frustrates me the most is that, I know that there is wealth here in this region, certainly. I know there's wealth in this country. And this is really a pen stroke and a decision from people from the haves who do not want the have-nots to exist. And that, for any warm-blooded, person is infuriating.
I'm gonna localize it a little bit. Because you said a lack of action, right? But I mean, locally, I would say also that in our current political climate, there's a lack of empathy, which is, and even to a degree of something that we didn't even see during the neoliberal administration of Schaaf.
Libby Schaaf, right?
Yeah, I mean, she had a she had her stuff, but this all feels like it's a way more blatant, all new level. We are facing it here in the Bay. I'm just talking about Oakland because that's where we live, a massive crisis of poverty. We got thousands of people. We don't even really know the actual number because the point in time count, I point this out all the time, is not accurate. It's an undercount.
Right. It never counts the people that are in the cars or people that are, are not present on the streets. And even those numbers range, that.
Yeah. So 1,000 people unhoused on the streets to levels we never before seen ever.
Right.
A center right city government at the city council level, say from one council person. Absolutely zero budget to adequately respond because we've allowed our investments into the Oakland Police Department to bankrupt the city. But we keep giving the money anyway. What do you, when you look, I know you ain't got a crystal ball, but you a smart lady, exacerbation of these conditions that already exist.
Well,
now we're talking about no food.
Yeah, you know what it feels like to live in Oakland when people are desperate, and we've never been here before, but it looks like all the things that people tend to complain about, right? It looks like bipping, it looks like violence, it feels like tension, it feels like children sleeping in schools, if showing up at all. It looks like folks not coming to work so that they can handle the pressures at hand. Like, it looks like a continued erosion of our city and our civility. And again, it's unnecessary. It's just absolutely unnecessary. So I think, we can do what we can do to plug the dam.
I'm right about to get into what you're doing to plug the dam, but you just connected some dots that I want to be more explicit about.
For sure.
And that is the connection between lack of resources, housing, food, et cetera, and increased levels of what some folks call crime.
Right. Right. Crimes of poverty.
And historically, at least over the last 10 years, we've seen that response, the response to that by the city, not actually being more resources, but being more law enforcement. Talk about how that collides with this current environment of militarism, invasion of cities by federal troops, et cetera.
Exactly. I mean, we are in a situation where we're primed to see our folks incarcerated because they are dealing with desperate conditions. I don't believe that the federal agents were moved out of Oakland. I don't think anybody puts that level of resources into shipping them here and then flies them right back out. So we've got federal agents and the ICE folks that are just waiting to jump on any opportunity. And those opportunities are, you know, we're wagging the dog here. We're creating a situation where folks can become incarcerated, where folks can become deported, where people become, you know, victims of the state. I think incarceration is kind of what we see and we've experienced, but we also know that none of these folks have training. Our police barely have training. And so that oftentimes can end up, we've seen it before, in death, you know, the ultimate cost, where we really lose lives of folks who don't deserve to interface with the state in that way at all. The moral loss that this creates in our city is one that is we're still trying to recover from COVID, for example, and the experiences that folks had during COVID, where there was just kind of a moral erosion, where the spirit of the folks has been saddened, has eroded. I'm sorry, I'm at a loss for words this morning. And as we talk about this, I get more and more frustrated. And I said I would prepare, but it's difficult because, this is an emotional situation. And as you identified before, this hits me viscerally. It's extremely frustrating. I know we have enough to take care of all of us. And these are just decisions that put everyone in peril.
One of the things you do is respond artistically, and again, I promise we're going to get to the event. You did just have quite the run of a musical called Co-Founders, where you pulled the veil back, on the tech industry and its impact on our community. What's there? So when you talk about this, well, like, we have resources in this area. Y'all that have been extracting resources from our community, you know, to become millionaires for decades now.
Billionaires.
Yeah. Thank you. Yeah. What's the call to tech, Brian Nicole? What's the call to them right now?
First of all, get your hands out of Donald Trump's pockets. He is not your friend. Sidling up to somebody like that only creates devastation for all of us. You know, we do live in a community, and the benefits of being in this region have afforded many of them, you know, the opportunity of innovation, folks that think differently, people that support different kind of thinking that allow people to become the progenitors of tech companies and what have you, and, you know, ultimately become billionaires. That happens because you live in a region like the Bay Area that has this broad representation of peoples from different kinds of places, different languages, different points of view, different ideologies. All of that happens in this fertile ground, and allows for and engenders innovation. That is what creates the tech landscape, or, you know, the tech innovations that we see, not the other way around. And so the extraction of resources, only serves to cut off their nose to spite their own, you know, their own face. It's very short-sighted. It's myopic beyond reason. It just doesn't make any sense. I can go, they owe a debt to our city, our region, that is unquantifiable at the moment. And they know that. And so I'm not telling them anything new. It would require them to have a moral shift to begin to support the people that have always supported them and the people that support them. Like, let's be real, you know, they're not taking care of their children. They're not mowing their own lawns. They're not, you know, educating their kids in the schools. They're the people that have always supported their lifestyle are folks who are impacted by these kinds of changes and by the person who they sidle up to, to give tax breaks.
First of all, what does Sizzla mean? I felt, you know my raw stuff. I was like, ooh, Sizzla.
Sizzla. And I love Sizzla.
I was like, no, that's not what this is.
It's CISALA. CISALA was a term that, so I read this book by Sadia Hartman. If anybody has a chance to read it, it's called Lose Your Mother. It's a nonfiction that talks about a journey back to the motherland to determine kind of, you know, where she's from and what have you. Long story short, in the book, at the very end, she identifies a group of people who were fugitives and refugees who successfully fled from and defended themselves from slave catchers and predatory states that were coming to obtain their bodies, right? And these are people from different warring tribes who decided to come together in this effort to fight against a larger enemy. And that's, that term just resonated with me so deeply because, you know, here we have folks who, here in this region, we have people who have found ways to divide themselves based on some of the most minor differences. You know, when we have a larger enemy at hand and always have had a larger enemy at hand. CISALA for me defines a term that there are more of us that are alike than there are, there's more of us that have likeness than there are more of us that have differences. And we need to join together to ensure one another's survival. And so I named this event CISALA under that idea.
So talk to the people about what's happening on November 11th, right?
Sure. So CISALA is a food drive and a benefit concert to support folks, like you said, experiencing disruption in their SNAP benefits or anybody who's having challenges. You know, like Michael Flynn spoke about, there were people coming to those food banks and lines because they are not, they're federal workers and have not been paid for now, you know, many, many weeks. And so anybody who's experiencing the strain of this season, the strain of not being paid, the strain of not being paid enough, the strain of costs being too high in the grocery stores, or more specifically, people who are experiencing disruption of their SNAP benefits. We are collecting food, non-perishable items, and hygiene kits for anybody who may need them. And we're distributing them to folks that are deeply in need via organizations. The East Oakland Collective, run by Candace Elder, and the People's House in West Oakland. So I'm trying to cover the poles, and I know I'm missing North Oakland there, but I'm just trying to cover the broad poles of Oakland to assure that each side of the city is taken care of.
How can people support? Where do they show up to? What do you need us to do?
Yeah, so the event is on 11/11, Veterans Day. It's a day off for many people. And so bring your kids, bring yourself, bring $20 worth of non-perishable items, and that'll get you in to the event. It is a concert. So I have an album called Yours Truly that I've been long due to perform. And I was like, what a perfect opportunity to converge this need. And honestly, in this other need, this artistic and creative need to perform this music, I feel like if people are going to come and contribute, I should also be contributing by providing them music and a space to just decompress in these times. So come 11/11. The event starts at 7 o'clock. If you want to pop in a little bit earlier, please come through. There's many ways that you can support. You can share the event. It's on my social media, which is Miss Ryan Nicole on Instagram. So you can find it and share it. I've been posting something every day regarding CISALA. So any one of those things you can share. You can contribute to it via Venmo if you cannot show up physically, which I really hope you can. But you can contribute to it via Venmo or Cash App. And my handle is Miss Ryan Nicole, MSRYANNICOLE. You can donate actual items. So non-perishable foods or hygiene items or a combination of both. Or you can show up and volunteer where we are just separating items out and be in community and listen to some good music. It's going to be great. DJ Abel D is going to be on the decks. My homeboy KEV, my partner in rhyme, is going to join me for a couple songs. And we'll just be there, you know, sharing space, sharing energy. I can't really specify how that's going to go, except that I know that when two or three are gathered in the name of justice, you know, the divine is in the midst. And that's what we're doing.
That just gave me goosebumps.
Oh, thank you.
Before I let you go, Ryan Nicole, we will put all of that in the archives of the show and share it on social. I, so part of what I was looking at was I want to make sure I wasn't lying about having downloaded you on my Spotify and tell people you can get you can access. When I just started playing,
I think I heard me. Yeah,
you do. You hear you coming through my speaker off of my cell phone. You can catch the brilliance of Ryan Nicole wherever you stream your music from.
That's right.
I shouldn't say where I stream it again.
That's right.
FCC. So I'm gonna shut up. You are wearing, for those, you know, I've got both audio and visual folks that tune in. Yes, you are wearing a artist on a hat. It says artist on your head, and on your sweater though is the panther.
Yes, this is in that spirit, yo. Like, this is the, you know, the 10th tenant. You know this, but the 10th tenant of the platform or the program is, you know, a call for land, bread, housing, education, clothing, justice, and peace. And you know, I'm trying to cover one of those bases. And I don't have any hubris around the fact that I'm going to solve all the problems. But what I hope that this event does is it inspires us to take part in mutual aid. Once again, referring back to your previous guest, Michael Flood of LA Food Bank, he talked about how mutual aid would be of great support to the needs of folks in this time. So neighbor to neighbor, brother to brother, sister to sister, we need to have each other's back. You know, we need to reignite grassroots efforts. And in fact, we should continue them going. I kind of lament the fact that I am somebody who responds in crisis. You know, I want to try to make my efforts in justice and supporting the people more consistent. And so this is one of those attempts. And this is an attempt to demonstrate what that can look like. And it is a very light lift. I'll also be providing a template for people. If folks want to figure out how to do this on their own, I'll have basically a work plan available for people to replicate this however they want to in their neighborhood and at their church, in their communities.
It's amazing. I'll just close this up by saying I just finished this book that actually I think is going to be one of those books that will be dog-eared and page-torn, called The Law of Compensation. And the last chapter is about miracles and talks about that in every situation, no matter how dark, and these are my, you know, I'm paraphrasing, right, there's the opportunity for a miracle. And I think that for us, for our people, the opportunity for a miracle right now is that when we get to the other side, we will have created and implemented systems that make us less reliant on the state that's been trying to kill us, remember us, that we can be reliant on each other, and be in a position to shift the material conditions for our folks long term.
Sure.
And so what you're doing is definitely is so much a part of that. And Ryan Nicole, I appreciate you and your work and your artistry and your friendship and just your presence in our community. I love you too. Thank you so much.
You've been listening to Law and Disorder, a podcast where we expose the cracks in our system, agitate for resistance, and collectively build a new world in which all of us can thrive. That's it for this episode, family. You can find more information about topics and guests in this episode's show notes. Law and Disorder is produced at KPFA. That's listener-supported radio on the Pacifica Network. The show is produced by Jesse Strauss and hosted by me, Kat Brooks. Our theme music was composed by Steve Raskin of Fort Knox 5. If you like what you heard, please follow us on social media at Law and Dis, that's D-I-S, and subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts. Feel free to holler at us about something you heard or send us a show idea at lawanddisorder@kpfa.org. You can also find our content live at 8 a.m. weekdays on KPFA. That's 94.1 FM in the Bay Area. Our show and all of KPFA's programs are funded exclusively by you, the listener. And if you're in a position to support us, please donate today at kpfa.org. Take care of yourself and take care of each other. We all we got, fam.